It's time to lead the people. The show for aspiring leaders at every level. If you want to boost your self-confidence, get noticed, and maximize your impact by leading others, you're in the right place. I'm your host, Matt Pepsel. Ready to lead? Follow me. My very special guest served as the Chief Operating Officer and Managing Partner of a small manufacturing company in the Chicagoland area. Now he provides strategic direction, vision, and corporate governance that helps other manufacturers achieve aggressive growth while maintaining profitability. He's the Chief Facilitator of Great Outcomes at Naresh International. He is Krishna Rajagopal. Welcome to the show, Krishna.
Thank you so much, Matt. Happy to be here.
I'm so excited to talk to you today. And I mentioned in the open that you have had a lot of experience operating businesses, chief operating officer, et cetera. But then I know you made the switch over to consultant. So my question to you is, what led you to make that shift going from business operator to business advisor?
Well, I think truth be told, I don't think I ever left being an operator, you know, because I run a consulting practice. But a major part of our business is helping business owners and businesses in an interim role, right? So I take on roles as an interim CEO or an interim COO working through challenges that companies might be having, which might be a growth challenge, or it might be a financial challenge, or it might even be, you know, moving it to the next, you know, level through an exit or a merger or an acquisition. So that's kind of what our business is. So I don't think I ever left being an operator, really.
I love it. You couldn't stay away. It's just so I understand that you do that for, you know, for your clients. I wonder if you could tell me just a little bit more. Let's stay on those challenges for a second. The businesses of all types, like, what are you seeing out there that are some of the common things that are holding companies back?
Well, small businesses especially, right? Owners tend to be in the weeds, right? So they're constantly working in the business as opposed to on the business. And a lot of times the structures, the systems, the people resources are not available to help take them to that next level. So, you know, it's an age-old challenge, right? I don't think it has changed over time. It is just a question of trying to get a moment to breathe and, you know, look at the business from a slightly different perspective. And that's hopefully where we help.
It's almost like the business will consume you if you allow it to. There's
yes,
just so
absolutely.
Much to see about day to day. It takes a lot of discipline. And I fall prey to this myself all the time. I even run any business. So, like, what advice do you have for, like, are there ways to open up that mindset and that space to say, okay, we need to come up out of the weeds, as you said?
I think it's really important for business owners and managers to remember that, you know, almost everything doesn't have to be invented from scratch, right? Someone has experienced the problem already, and it's just a question of being outside, right? And looking at the resources available. And a lot of times a helping hand is really important, right? And sometimes, you know, when you're a CEO or president of a company, you tend to think that you're alone. So it's really important to reach out and walk through and talk through processes and ask for help. And if you do not know something, say you do not know, right? Those are some critical aspects of being a successful business owner.
That's one of my favorite things as a talent consultant is you get to see so many different types of situations that you can be that much more valuable to your clients when you do come in. And you're right. You get so feeling like within our four walls, that's all I really get to see. So I'm really obsessed with my own perspective and problems, but a little bit outside perspective can really help a lot. Yeah. Now I mentioned in the top also that you have this long track record of operating and now, you know, assisting other manufacturing companies. I don't know manufacturing very well at all. So my question to you is what unique challenges are manufacturers facing today?
So there's a lot of challenges, right? You have competition, which is, and there's a lot of price pressure on manufacturing. And in California, there's a lot of regulation and issues related to that cause it to be challenging to run a business. However, The key is to figure out how to overcome those challenges and work through it. You know, businesses need to have processes, right? Need to have automation. And, you know, I always tell people you can buy all the equipment on earth. However, if you have $1 million machine and you do not have a person to operate it effectively, it's $1 million paperweight, right? So the biggest challenge that I think we have around us is to find the right people to do the right job. And that's kind of been the cornerstone of the way I run our businesses, right? It's finding the right people, making sure there's a fit, and then let them do their job, as opposed to, you know, telling them how to do the job.
I love that you're calling out the people part of it in particular, because when we think about manufacturing and other heavy industry, we think so much about the lines, about the machinery, about the technology behind it. I know there's this tremendous move towards smart manufacturing and all these types of things to really modernize the way that we have our output. But it's still, at the end of the day, I always say every business is a people business, and I wouldn't expect that manufacturing really is any different.
It isn't. And finding talent is the hardest thing to do. You know, I had the issue in Chicago, and I had the issue in New Orleans, and I had the issue here in California. So it's a common problem.
It's probably getting worse too. I find that there's this indefinite talent shortage, especially for highly skilled technical talent. But also, I think that when I think about entry-level workers, for example, because let's face it, you know, manufacturing, just like every other industry, our most experienced workers are aging out of the workforce a little bit. When we start looking at how do we get, you know, young people to come in and to help us with all this modernization, they have choices, and manufacturing may not be on the top of their list of where they want to go work compared to DoorDash or, you know, designing video games or whatever it might be.
Correct. Exactly. And it's unfortunate that, you know, over the years, manufacturing has taken a bad rap, right? But if you look at the quality of life and the quality of work that the manufacturing jobs bring, it's quite high. And the economic impact is huge, right? So from a pure value standpoint, I think manufacturing jobs are a key to the future, right?
There might be some bright spots as well, because I know I've seen a lot of Gen Z in particular looking to the trades as ways to have a more clear path to certainty of revenue. Meanwhile, the sizzle jobs, for example, in the high tech space, you're seeing companies shedding thousands of people at a time, no real loyalty. And I know that inside manufacturing in particular, you see people who have careers at a given manufacturer for 10, 20, 30 years. So I think it's about probably emphasizing the strengths in that case to attract top talent, and right fit talent is probably the best way to say that.
Correct. And I think, you know, the concept of hire to retire is really important, right? Because you need to have individuals come in and show them a path for their career, because most people do not like uncertainty. So for us, it is about trying to build a career path and build the opportunity and the flexibility so that, you know, people can thrive. You know, it's about ultimately it's a partnership between employers and employees, right? And within the ecosystem that you're working with them.
Here's one of the things I learned early on when it comes to leadership. The best leaders know how to build trust and motivate their people. And there are two ways you can do this. The first is to spend a whole bunch of time you don't have fumbling around and trying to figure out what makes the people around you tick. I wouldn't recommend that approach. The better technique is to use readily available tools to fast forward the insights you need so you can spend more time leading and less time playing guessing games. One of my favorite people first tools comes from the Predictive Index. The Predictive Index, affectionately known as PI, makes it easy to understand what each individual on your team needs out of a manager so you can personalize your leadership approach to get the best results. I can tell you with 100% certainty that the PI tools work for me, and they'll work for you too. I was first introduced to the Predictive Index way back in 2007, and it changed my leadership. 10 years ago, I joined the company, and I've been proud to contribute to the development of talent optimization and the PI tools that make it possible in organizations of all shapes and sizes. Using PI, you can coach, motivate, and develop each of your direct reports on their terms so you can move up in your career with less stress. Visit PredictiveIndex.com to learn more. To make it even easier for you, I'll put a link in the show notes. And now, let's get back to the show. And the things we're talking about are really elements of a talent optimization approach, which talks about designing winning teams and hiring top talent, for example. And so I know that you and I, being in the talent optimization business, one of the questions I have for you, Krishna, is when you think about the key elements of a talent optimization program or an implementation or however you would describe that, how does it actually look or work in your experience in a manufacturing setting?
So it's about, you're talking to someone who drinks a Kool-Aid, right? So it's a slightly different approach, right? For me, it's all about making sure we understand the person and making sure we provide the environment that makes them successful, right? And an accountant is very different from a sales and marketing guy. An engineer is very different from, a customer service type of a role, right? So it's a question of trying to make sure that the roles are defined really well and use the data that is available, right? I use PI quite a bit. Prior to PI, I used other psychometric tools, to build businesses. And now we have the Perform platform that I'm using to transition all of our deployment EOS type activities into a centralized location. So we're beginning to have a holistic approach to, building a business, right? And you're building a business management system, right? And that's kind of, I think, the key to success.
I love that. And it's so true. And I think that for a long time, manufacturers have obsessed over the data that comes out of the machines and how we process that and make sure we're having the highest possible levels of quality and efficiency. When it comes to people, though, I find that businesses of all varieties, manufacturers included, often overlook tools we've had for a long time, much to their detriment, because then we have friction in the business. We have gaps between the work that we need to do or the future of the business, for example. So I love that you're talking about using the psychometric tools, but specialize within the context of manufacturing. I just find that really powerful.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, one of the questions I have for you, key takeaways, let's say that you're talking for the first time to manufacturing executive about this whole space. Like, what's one key takeaway or one thing that you want to make sure that that you would impart as advice to manufacturing executives today?
And that's really hard, Matt. It's really hard. I would say the key takeaway is to make sure you focus on the business and the processes involved, right? And it's process on the manufacturing side, on the finance side, on the quality side, and most importantly, on the people side. So it's not one, but ultimately it's about building a system, right? And making sure it's an interrelated system. So if you look at a process, that's really critical to have within an organization.
I like that. And I'll just build on that by saying, in my experience too, you don't get to go from strategy all the way to business results without passing through your people system in some way, shape, or form.
Correct.
And I think a lot of times we do our executives and our senior managers a disservice because we try to talk so much about technology and operations and process. But if we overlook the people part, which is inherently their responsibility and opportunity, then ultimately, then we don't get the nature of the profits and the throughput that we are looking for.
It's your largest cost, right, in a business, typically.
Definitely the largest cost, and I think the largest predictor of valuation too in the future. As you go and you think about, as we're building a company, in this case, manufacturing executive wants to leave something with their kids, maybe continue on what they've built. All these things are still dependent on how well we deploy our people resources, as much as modernize our lines, right?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Amazing. Krishna, I'm going to give you the easiest question of all. Where can my listeners go to learn more about you?
Well, you can go to my LinkedIn site. My company page is www.narishintel.com.
And I'll have those links.
Click on the links on the blog, right? Or the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. And listeners, I'm going to have those links for you in the show notes. You're only one click away from connecting with Krishna and learning more about his expertise in putting the people part into manufacturing. Krishna, thanks so much for being with me today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, man. It's a pleasure.
Here are my factory fresh top three takeaways from today's episode. 1, rise up. While it can be tempting to spend all your time solving day-to-day problems, your role as a business owner is at another level. Make time to work on your business and not just in it. 2, seek advice. When you spend nearly all your time inside your own four walls, you may lose perspective. It's very likely that the problems you're facing have already been solved by somebody else. This is where an outside consultant can help. 3, play the long game. Manufacturers should emphasize the long-term prospects employees can expect. For the right candidate, stability and consistency are exactly what they want most. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Strong reviews help shows like mine get noticed. And be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss your next opportunity to learn, lead, and live at your best. Thanks for making this investment in your leadership ability, and thanks for sharing this podcast with another aspiring leader who needs to hear it. All right, leaders, until next time, don't just manage the business when you can lead the people.